Welcome back to Crunch Time. It's time for the Crunch Exchange, brought to you by the Josh Cooley team of Keller Williams Realty. Alex presents the prospectus. Steve lets us know if he's buying, selling, or if it's pending. Sell your home worry-free with Josh Cooley, Keller Williams Realty.
It's a semi-loud bell.
I like the bell.
Welcome back to Crunch Time. Final segment of Crunch Time on a Wednesday means it is the Crunch Exchange. I'm going to give Steve some stories, give him a prospectus revolving around that story, and he will tell us if he's buying, selling, or if it is pending, which he sometimes actually uses. First things first, inquiring minds want to know. Nick thinks you should. I think you should. Are you going to buy a Porzingis Scherzi before season's end?
I guess
you
I don't
buy
have,
or sell.
I think I literally have to buy one. So, somebody find me a website and a price.
I'm on it. I mean, NBA.com. Yeah, research. Get on it. Let's go. sticking with some NBA, why don't we? You mentioned it earlier. Chris Broussard of ESPN posted a story this week about Damian Lillard. If you haven't been paying attention, Lillard, arguably the hottest player in the NBA since the All-Star break. There's one thing you can say is that if you motivate Dame, he responds very well. Every time he's been doubted since joining the NBA, he has basically gone off and taken it out on his nearby opponents. Broussard's article this week had to do with the NBA individual player power rankings. He ranks Lillard as the 7th best player in the league right now behind Curry, LeBron, Durant, Westbrook, Leonard, and Paul. A quote from the story: his shockingly low RPM, real plus minus, notwithstanding, Dame Dalla is making folks pay for all sorts of snubs, not recruiting him out of high school, leaving him off top 5 point guard list, and of course, failing to name him to the All-Star team. With a chip on his shoulder the size of his hometown, Oakland, he's averaging 33.7 points since the All-Star break. More importantly, he's got the team everybody left for dead, playing some of the league's best ball and in the thick of the Western Conference playoff race. All of those things are true, but is he for real as an elite player in the league? The perspective is Damian Lillard is actually the 7th best player in the NBA.
Oof. Well, what he's doing is he's kind of playing the stock market. Is it a stable stock to buy based on past and future, or do you just want to make some cash now? I want to, but I can't. So I think this might be the classic case of let's let the rest of the year play out. And if he starts balling out like this, then he's made a substantial upgrade. So I'm going to go pending.
Ted, my boy, it's going to be legend. Wait for it.
Staying with the Blazers, Ken Berger of CBS Sports wrote a story about Portland today, about Portland's first season without LaMarcus Aldridge. He essentially wrote that the Blazers, while playing a very new style of perimeter ball, are basically the same team that they were with LaMarcus in terms of wins and losses in production. Lillard has stepped up his game. 3J is the front runner for most improved player, and the hodgepodge of post players, while they don't match the production of LaMarcus by any means, are playing well on D, on the glass, and Dame and CJ are making up the difference in terms of scoring. The only difference, Berger points out, is that the Blazers are 19th in team defense, whereas they were 10th last year with LaMarcus. Also points out the insane situation that is Portland's cap space. They have tons of draft picks, the league's lowest payroll, and are young across the board, so they're winning now, and they are set up for the future. So I'll just flat out ask. The prospectus, the Blazers are better off without LaMarcus Aldridge.
So who's the writer? Berger?
Yeah.
I stopped eating meat this July. I can't comment on anything he has to say.
So that's a sell, then. I'll take it.
No. The bottom line is, as great as Aldridge was, they made it out of the first round once. I think the promise of this team, I'm actually going to buy that right now. And if you'd asked me 3 weeks ago, I'd be like, you're nuts.
How about we get to some NFL? Sort of a head-scratching contract the last few days came from the Eagles and Sam Bradford. Bradford had seemingly been injured every season of his career. Didn't really do much last year with Philly, but the team rewarded him with a 2-year extension worth $26 million guaranteed. Now, in terms of current QB deals, paying him $13 million a year guaranteed isn't over the top by any stretch. Kirk Cousins just got franchise tag for $20 million. But the team did absolutely nothing with Bradford, and the only reason he's on the roster is because Chip Kelly brought him in to replace Nick Foles, who was a Pro Bowler, and now that Chip Kelly is gone, the team said they were trying to move away from his policies regarding players and attitude. So they bring back the quarterback Chip brought in who wasn't productive? The prospectus, bringing back Sam Bradford was a good move for the Eagles.
First of all, I don't use the J word a lot because I think you never know, but Sam Bradford is the luckiest person in the history of sports.
What was it, $104 million
made? If he plays out his contract, he'll have earned $104 million. And it comes out to about $104 million a win. But bringing him back, there's no other options. And like you said, NFL money, that's not really that big a deal. And there is a salary cap, and it just went up. So whatever the distance is easily absorbed. So I'm actually going to buy that.
How about Joe Flacco? Was it time to move forward? The Ravens don't seem to think so. They extended Flacco 3 years, paying him a $40 million signing bonus to work around the salary cap. That is a big check. So including his contract, the Ravens are paying Flacco $66 million this year. Last year, Flacco threw for 2,700 yards, 14 touchdowns, 12 interceptions, missed six games due to injury. It was his worst totals for yards and touchdowns since his rookie year. He got banged up, and he just turned 31. His contract will now run until he's 37 and an unrestricted free agent. Should they have given him this deal, or should they have finished out the current one and began a transition to a new quarterback? The prospectus, the Ravens should have extended Joe Flacco.
You know, the bottom line is, and I think a lot of times, like we said with Bradford, when it comes to quarterback play in this league, you've got to take a careful look at the landscape. What's available in the draft? What gives you the best chance to win the next couple years? He's won a Super Bowl. He's been in the playoffs just about every year. He got hurt. Things came unglued. Ozzie Newsome, that's a really good franchise. And as we're learning, for a quarterback 31 years old, you still got like five prime years. And again, the money is negligible. This is a guy who over the course of his career has a pretty low interception rate. He had the one bad year with picks. Otherwise, he's won them double-digit games, have been in the playoffs every year except one or two. I think it's a good move. I'm going to buy that.
Aroldis Chapman was just suspended 30 games by Rob Manfred in Major League Baseball. You'll remember Chapman admitted to firing 8 shots into his garage last year after a dispute with his girlfriend, who at the time said Chapman had strangled her and shoved her into a wall and left her hiding behind bushes in front of their house when police showed up. After the incident, for some reason, the Yankees signed him, knowing possible sanctions or a criminal case would await. The sanctions came despite there not being any criminal charges. MLB has a domestic violence policy now and is using it to justify the suspension of Chapman, but again, there were never charges brought against him and no criminal case against him. So basically, the punishment is based on the investigation by the league themselves and essentially ignores the decision that police and prosecutors made. Sets an interesting precedent. The prospectus, MLB should suspend Chapman for 30 games despite him being legally cleared.
You know, this is the Yankees. We just talked about the Knicks. You know that promo we play for Scotty Farrell? All my teams lose! And he wants to jump off the George Washington Bridge. I feel the same way. It's getting worse. Not only are they losing, but now it's getting embarrassing. If you read that police report and you realize he admitted to shooting 8 shots, and this wasn't in some, you know, faraway country. This was in Miami, and With a case of domestic violence, any expert will tell you, when there is a weapon involved and an escalating case, guess what? There's a chance will happen next. I actually think that he got off easy, and I'm disgusted the Yankees even considered bringing him in, much less did. So I'll buy that the suspension was justified.
Tennessee Titans have an interesting dilemma. They have the number one pick in this year's draft and a franchise quarterback to build around. They also have several teams around them in the draft who are in need of a quarterback and would probably be willing to move into their spot to lock down the chances to draft the best one, probably Cal's Jared Goff. So the Titans don't need a QB, obviously, but they do need an offensive line to keep him from tearing his MCL for a third time in a year. Laramie Tunsil, widely projected as the best player in the draft, he plays left tackle. The Titans need a left tackle, but they could also get some really good value to trade out of one, and if it's a team like the Browns, they could stay at number 2 and still possibly get the guy they want. What do you think? The prospectus, the Titans should do the sure thing and keep the top pick to protect Mariota.
Whatever they do, they have got to take an offensive lineman, whoever they think is the best. So whether they think they could trade down and still get their guy, it doesn't matter. So I guess I'm going to go with a pending here.
Ted, my boy, it's going to be legend. Wait for it.
Derry.